okay? We've got a little technical thing going on, so hang in there with me for a second, okay? This bell was made for ringing. Denise LaSalle. Hey, welcome everyone. Hey, this is The Buzz Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. We circle the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the finest in broadcasting found anywhere around the world. Now, tonight is Groove Swing Speaks. This is our fifth episode of Groove Swing Speaks. This is where we connect around the globe. The grooves and the swings, we get together and we're talking to brothers and sisters around the country. We talk about our expertise, the projects that we're involved with, the community service and so forth and so on. I'm so proud to do this. And welcome to the set. We have our special guest tonight. That's Jessica Jean Burton, RDH, RDHP, the RHD, MP, MPA, she has. Oh, wow. The credentials are huge. And I'm going to let her tell us a little bit more about herself later in the broadcast. But, hey, there's my co-host, LaToya Yvette. Hey, darling, how are you?
Fine, and how are you? Hola, sister. And good evening, my brother.
Oh, we are terrific. We are terrific. And we've got Brother Robert Hicks. He's here. He's faithful. He's loyal. And we really appreciate his input to this broadcast. Oh, Mark Daniels. Oh, that's my brother out of Houston, Texas. Okay, via California. I don't know which. I don't know where he's living these days. California, Houston, but I know he's in Houston right now. Brother Mark, how are you, my friend?
I'm good this evening. How are you?
Man, meet the panel. We got Tiffany Hilliard. Oh, a brilliant, brilliant at her craft as well. So we're gonna go around the table tonight. Our chat is and talk is going to be the cause and effects of mental illness. The subject is mental health, and I want to get into that because Groove Swing Speaks. We talk about what each organization is doing around the country, and we're doing some excellent things from both organizations, you know, and we're giving advice, and we have people from all walks of life doing certain things, you know. Brother Robert, I'm going to let him tell you about himself. Mark, you're doing some magnificent things. LaToya, we've had the pleasure of doing this. This is our fifth broadcast, and we're going to get into that a little bit. We talked about Tiffany, and we're going to also talk about our sister Jessica Jean. Oh, by the way, Jessica, I got a call from Michelle. She says she's trying to get in, and we were like a minute before the show started, and I couldn't take the real time. I told her, click on the link. She says she's done it a couple of times. So I don't know whether you can text her some information or help out that way. But anyway, Tiffany, and then we're going to come back all the way around circle. Then we're going to come to Sister Jessica because this is a very important topic. Tiffany, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. Hola, my sisters, and greetings, my brothers. My name is Tiffany Hilliard. I hail from Raleigh grad. I went over fall 2011. And I am a screenwriter. I'm currently working on a few different projects as we speak. And that's what I do. That's me.
Okay, yeah, she did. She just gave you the Reader's Digest. No, not even that. She just gave you a snippet of what she does. And also, off air, I've had the pleasure of speaking to Tiffany. What a fascinating woman. Fascinating in what she does and her vision. So we're going to talk about a little bit more of that later. Let's go to Brother Mark. Mark,
yes,
introduce yourself to the panel. You've been on before, but you are a business owner. Okay.
Yeah.
And with this program, we want to inspire, we want to educate and also motivate people, reach out, follow your dreams, you know, but also you need, a path, you need information. So that's what this program is all about because we have so many different professionals and who knows. I know that somebody will be motivated behind this. So, Mark, as a business owner, as a groove, just tell us about your vision and how you became a business owner, and maybe you can inspire someone to start their own business.
Well, first of all, my name is Mark Daniels. I'm currently in Houston, Texas. I originally attended Virginia Union University, same school as William, our alma mater. Went into the military, did my time in the military, got out in California, decided I wanted to stay. Once I was out there, I worked for a Chrysler Corporation for a period of time until my plant closed. And at that point, I felt like, the last thing I ever want to do is depend on someone else to make sure that I'm able to make a living for myself. I started looking at different avenues that I could go into and what would be, I'll be honest, the cheapest financially that I could start off with, where I wasn't putting everything I had in, you know, my life savings into it. Started doing some Googling, looked into a janitorial business. And I start, you know, looking at it, seeing, you know, okay, would it make sense financially, things of that nature. And what I did is I actually went to the Small Business Development Center in Riverside, California, and it cost me nothing. They sat me down, gave me all the tools I needed. I mean, step by step by step, I took those steps. And you know, I figured, you know what, I didn't want to start off going to independent businesses, trying to get business. I started off with the state of California. And once I learned how to start bidding, the very first contract I ever bid on, I actually got. At that point, I started off where it was just myself. And I grew it to a point where I had 16 employees. All my accounts were with the state, and I wanted to go with the state and with the government because I wanted my money to be guaranteed. I didn't want to be in a position where when it came time to pay people, sometimes we get a bad reputation, and that's not what I wanted. I wanted my money guaranteed to me, and I've kept it that way. I mean, I've picked up small, you know, contracts along the way with different little businesses, but primarily I've went with the state, and the people that I've helped with employment are people that may not have gotten second chances in some cases. I started it myself. I went with people I known, then I reached out, start putting different ads out. And as I met people and got to know them, started employing them, and I've had success with it. During the COVID period, when everything was shut down, I was booming. Had made more money than I ever thought I would make during that period of time. And with my regular job, I'm a project engineer, and my company had asked me what I'd be willing to come to Houston to, because they were opening a new facility, and basically help get that facility up and running. And it's been going on 3 years, and it's still not totally up and running. But I still had to maintain my business. And the one thing I'll tell anybody is that when you have your business, nobody's going to take care of it like you will. So that became a little bit of a challenge because I was going back and forth a lot. But I was determined to make my business go. I put the right things in place. As far as with my contacts, I developed a great rapport with the facilities I got, with the field office managers. If there's any issues, I'm able to get it addressed. And to start this business off, I did it with less than $500. That included getting equipment, everything else. I mean, I went through Google, did a lot of different things. Fortunately for me, there was a cleaning supply company in the city of Moreno Valley where I developed a great rapport with them, to where I could basically basically get supplies, pay it later, however I had to do it, and made it work. Also, I was able to get funding from various avenues where if I needed it, I could immediately make it work. And so that's pretty much where I've been. And like I said, it's something that I plan on carrying on until my goal is to be done actually working. And I was thinking about that today. You know, I'm still pretty young, but my goal is to probably be done with corporate America in maybe another 2 years.
Wow.
And I think I can be successful and carry on from there.
My hat's off for you, brother, because like you said, you had a, you and I, we've talked about this before. As a matter of fact, you told the same story almost verbatim. And, applaud you for is that, you said, look, I just lost a job, a good paying job. And now I'm never going to depend on anybody else to predict my outcome or govern on how my lifestyle is going to be or how much I can be able to provide for my family. So my head is definitely off for you, off to you, because I hope someone else is out there listening. Mm-hmm. Someone else is out there listening. You said a couple of things that I want to point out. You thought about, what can I do and what is the most cost-effective way to do it? And you did your research and found out something that you knew that you could do or have an idea that you could do, and you pursued that. Then you found avenues for funding, something else that picked up on. You got government contracts. You said, okay, I know these people are going to pay me. Okay, they're not going bankrupt anytime soon or lay anybody off.
So, you know, I'll tell anybody, though, you know, at least we both live in California. I still have a residence there, is that, you know, for me, I can't speak for others, but when I submitted my invoice, now I took it in there personally. I wasn't doing that all. It was lost in the mail. No. This was on your, I gave it to you.
Right.
And even when I do my invoicing now, I get it to them personally, individually. I don't believe in that mail system. Because I look at it like this. The moment I put that invoice on your desk, you got a certain period of time, I need my money. I mean, it's cut and dry. You know, the most important thing to me, yes, I want to make money out of it, but I also got to take care of the people that's doing the work.
Right.
Because they have lives and they have, you know, families and things to take care of. So it's, you know, like I tell anybody, starting up, me personally, for the first couple of months, I did the work myself because I knew I wasn't going to be able to pay anybody immediately. So. Right. You know, the first few months I did it myself.
Absolutely. Real quick, and then we're going to go to LaToya. LaToya, you have to speak up. And then Robert Hicks and Jessica, hang in there because you are the showstopper here. Okay, so we or show starter, whichever way you want to put it. Okay, so we want to get to you. But I want you to get to meet some of your brothers and your sisters from different parts of the country because Robert is in Maryland. Okay. Tiffany is in North Carolina, I believe. Tiffany, you are in North Carolina, correct? Tiffany?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. And LaToya is in North Carolina. Mark is in Houston, Texas, and he bounces back and forth from Houston to Southern California, and that's where I met him, Robert. As a matter of fact, I had the pleasure of pledging this brother.
Yes, sir.
I sure did. And not only are we Groove Brothers, but we've been friends ever since. He's also part of our sports network. We have a show that comes on Saturday mornings called the Studio W Sports Page. And Mark, he's been dubbed the boxing guru because you can ask him anything about boxing. I guarantee you right now he'll tell you about it. But not only that, he is very astute in pick a sport. He can tell you about it, okay? Without notes in front of his hand, just like the rest of the panel, which is so unique. These cats, they don't have notes in front of them. I mean, they're going from their head and just telling you, and it's all factual stuff. But anyway, without further ado, let's talk to Brother Robert Hicks. Tell us a little bit about you, brother, because your work is fascinating as well.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone out there in radio land or video land or wherever you're listening to right now. My name is Feldman Robert Hicks. I went over in spring 1996 at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I currently serve as president of the Northern Virginia Graduate Chapter, which covers all the way from Fairfax all the way down to Springfield. I'm currently also the membership director for Groove 5 Groove, the international membership director. And most recently, in addition to some of the work I was doing with the patent office, we had just introduced and signed up for a new nonprofit here in the state of Maryland. So we just filed a couple of days ago. So we're very happy of getting this off the ground. But really, it's going to be focusing more to the aspect of mental health, but this idea of dealing with the subject of math.
Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of people, interestingly enough, there are a lot of people who do suffer from anxiety when it comes down to math concepts, math problems, math test taking. And we are here to be able to provide a way for people to be able to calm and be relaxed in doing this work by using various different techniques that we will be promoting over time. It actually, for me, it came out from just a love of tutoring math. I've been a tutor of math professionally, I believe, for over 30 years. Started out as a junior in high school. We just followed from there. But basically, the idea is we wanted to be able to expand out a little bit further to be able to reach various different students in all areas, whether it's elementary school or to the college level. So you'll be hearing from us relatively soon. But I probably would say the same way as Fallon Mark has mentioned. We wanted to do something different and eventually not have to chase around for a paycheck. And there comes a point where you want to do your own thing, mm-hmm. but also at the same time, you want to be realized that you have the ability and the wherewithal, the knowledge, the capabilities to be able to branch out on your own. And as with any business, you're taking a risk on yourself because wow. you're the best, you're the sure bet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, Brother Craig Hunter, he's here. Let's see. Sister LaToya, she dropped off. I'm sure she'll be right back. There she is right there on cue. She just came back on cue. There she is. Before we go to Brother Craig, LaToya, tell the audience about you and what you do. LaToya?
I don't think she has audio.
Okay, I can't. Her mic is muted and I can't unmute it. Unmute your mic, LaToya. There you are. LaToya? She's having a little technical problem here. Okay. Okay. LaToya, yes. LaToya, log out and come back on and let's see if that works because we can't hear you at all. All right? Okay. Brother Craig.
The game changer.
Speaking to your mic, Mr. Game Changer. Okay.
Good evening, everybody.
All right, we can hear you loud and clear, brother. Okay. Go on.
Just wanted to, say this is a nice day. In Richmond, Virginia today. Good weather. And as always, when you're on this side, you've been blessed to see another day. We've been talking about mental health. Have we talked about the subject of mental health yet?
Not yet. But so, we're getting into that. I want you to introduce yourself to the audience and tell them a little bit about you, what your take here, and what we are doing going forward with this Groove Swing Speaks radio station.
My name is Craig Hunter. I am the president of the Virginia Union University Virtual Alumni Chapter. Well, we virtual alumni chapters, chapters from members who actually attended a university and may be out in various areas of the United States. So they get together and form a chapter, and most of the activity of that chapter is around supporting the undergraduate chapter or reestablishing the undergraduate chapter at that university that they attended. And I am the president of the Virginia Union University Virtual Alumni Chapter here in Richmond, Virginia. I have had held several offers. Back then it was the national office, but now since we have chapters outside of the United States, it's the international office of the Groove 5 Groove Social Fellowship Incorporated. And this concept was started in California. Brother William Brown started this in California. He moved to Richmond. This program had ended, and we were having some conversations to reactivate this network, and we were thinking of some names. And I came up with the concept of Groove Swing Speaks. However, when I went to try to get a trademark on it,
What? Oh, no, stop the presses right now. I can't believe I can't. Wait a minute.
Oh my goodness.
I can't believe this. You know, I'm getting ready to cut your mic. I can't believe this.
That's what it says. So, okay. We'll talk offline about that.
You know, Robert, my brother Clayton is here right now. Clayton.
Yes.
Can you believe what the game changer just said?
I never could understand what he's saying.
Put your hand
up. He's been problematic for a long time. I don't know if it has anything to do with where he comes from or his upbringing or what it is, but forgive me.
Hey, Jessica, please forgive my brother. You know, and he's at swinging distance right now, too. Okay, he's right here in studio. So you be careful, Craig.
Greetings, sisters. Greetings, my brothers.
Oh, my sisters. God. Yeah, did you meet Tiffany before?
I did.
Yes, yes, yes. And we have another sister here. That's Jessica Burton. Jessica Hello. Jean Burton.
All right.
And she's in Jersey, and we've been introducing ourselves, but she is the featured guest here tonight. And we just want everybody to know what everybody does. You got Brother Mark Daniels on. You met Mark before. I'm sure you, have you met Mark? Have you met Mark? He's out of Houston, Texas.
Which Mark?
No,
Mark Daniels.
No, I've never met him.
You never met Mark? Great brother as well. And I know you know Robert. So it's family affair, Jessica.
What's up, Robert?
And last week, guys, we had several hundred. Now, this was just on one page, several hundred grooves and swings to tune in. And that was just on one page. And you know, we have two apps. We have the website, Google Play, Apple CarPlay, Alexa, and the websites, which is studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com, or internationally, studio.w. Just as simple. Tell your friends about it. Latoya, she says she went out and she's coming back in. Let's see. Oh, there she is. And she happens to do this right on cue every time. Hey, sister.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh boy, who did we lose that time? Okay, we just lost somebody. Okay, but that's...
Was it Tiffany?
Oh, yeah. And she needs to reconnect. There is Tiffany right there, too. As well. Okay. Before we get to my brother Clayton, I want, Latoya, tell us about you, some things that you do, because you have a very interesting field as well. How did you get into it? And then, like I said, Sister Jessica, is on board here after we introduce Clayton. Latoya, tell us about who is Latoya Yvette?
Oh my, so who is Latoya Yvette? I am a mom. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I work in the medical field. I work with an ophthalmologist. So we do eye exams. I've been on the side where they do eye surgeries. I have volunteer. I love to. Now, okay, so I know we're live, but don't tell nobody, okay, y'all?
No, we'll keep it to ourselves, all right?
Okay, it's just us and we're family.
That's right.
I love to sing. I love to do spoken word. Oh my gosh. Like, this could go on and on.
Okay.
I'm a grandmother.
You're a grandmother?
I am. I have two grandbabies.
Wow. Yeah. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. I'm not going to ask any questions. Okay. We're going to definitely move from there. Wow. Amazing. And you also my co-host.
I am your
partner. Yeah. Now, let me tell you how this story, game changer. Don't say a word. I will cut your mic in a second. Okay. Okay. I have
checks come out on Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay. See, he thinks I'm playing. Okay. No. Okay. I just muted you. So Okay. Now, let's tell the world the real story. Mark, were you ever, did you ever do the Groove Talk Radio when we were in California? Were you ever on that program?
Yeah, I did it, I think, once or twice.
Right. I started Groove Talk Radio, and I want to say probably around 2017 when I started it. I believe it was 2017, so we'll go with that. And, oh, wow. Hallelujah. We were in our 10th year right now of doing Studio W, The Buzz, Studio W, The Buzz, self-owned, black-owned, black-operated, self-funded, and 10 years. And we'll get into that a little bit later. The story is deep, Mark, because when I first moved to California, I only had $500, too. $500 in my pocket and no job, no place to stay, no car. Who does that? Somebody said, hey, look, I have to do this for myself. And like you, Mark, I can't depend on anyone else but me. Okay. And thank God we've made it this far. And I have no reason to believe that we won't continue. The first organization or people to reach out to me, okay, when I came to Virginia, and I said, okay, I want to do something different. And I talked to Rock. And we were talking because the Raleigh grad were the first people to reach out and says and congratulate me because I sent out an article that this station was written up in. And I had my Groove gear on. Thank God I did. So Raleigh grad congratulated me. And I said, you know what? Let me contact these sisters. And I did. And after speaking to Rock, thank you so much, Rock. Rock, we'll talk about her a lot more because she's behind the scenes. You have to have people behind the scenes to put down that work that sometimes you may not have time to do. So anyways, talk to Rock. And after speaking to Rock for about 10, 15 minutes, I said, Rock, you know, I did a show back in California called Groove Talk Radio. And I said, I want to bring it back. I said, but this time I want to make it equal along with the swings. I want to bring our sisters on board and give them an equal platform that we have. And so then she put me in contact with LaToya. And LaToya and I had an idea. I said, I wrote down a whole bunch of titles. What do we call it? And I had a whole bunch of things. And I called LaToya. I said, LaToya, I'm coming with all these ideas. And I want to do something called Groove Swing Speaks. I said, I have some others. She said, I like that. Then I called this knucklehead on my left over here, Craig. And I said, Craig, we're going to start this program, a takeoff on Groove Talk Radio, and we'll call it Groove Swing Speaks. And he said, oh yeah, I like that. So Craig, don't even start. I mean, we're not talking to you right now because you introduced yourself, right, Clayton?
No, I have not.
You did? Okay. Please introduce yourself, and then we have to go to our special guest. Huh?
Okay. What's that, Craig?
I was asking him, can you unmute my mic?
Your mic is already unmuted. Be quiet, Craig.
Well, greetings, brothers. Greetings, sisters. Thank you for this opportunity. Okay. So, you know, these are some rude people that we're dealing with today, but these are our brothers and our sisters. We got to keep them in prayer, I tell you. Please. But my name is Fellowman Clayton Brown. Clayton, excuse me. But they call me the Crow, the Blackbird. That's my GKA name. And I have been a Groove since 1977. And I'm very happy and thankful for the path that I've taken. Because being a Groove that long, you see a lot of people come and go. And I find myself in the middle of those type of things where brothers and sisters tend to go their merry way, but now they're trying to find out where is Groove going today. And I think we're going into a great path. We're going in a great direction as fellow Robert Hicks can tell you. He's thoroughly involved in it. We can always call on Rob if we needed something, just like the other presidents and vice. So I think we're going in a great direction. I am currently the president of the Virginia State University Virtual Alumni Chapter out of Petersburg, Trojan Chapter. And so I've been collaborating with the sisters quite often on some of the projects. We're helping each other try to grow, recruit, do those little things that we need to do in order to get, you know, that movement. Because Virginia State Union, Norfolk, Hampton, even Virginia Tech used to be some thriving black and white, big time. And unfortunately, at this point in time, it's lacking those things. But I just feel like it's necessary for me to come alongside the sisters. We got some projects going on in April, the Wellness Day down at Virginia State University. We're gathering some of the items, personal hygiene items for men and women, the young ladies, and also some goodie bags and donating some perishable items that they can use because they do have a pantry down there. And, you know, just giving back to our culture. And I'm working with Sister Geraldine Atkins on that program.
Wow.
Okay. So we have been working side by side. The Doorways, which is we fed the people that was coming to MCV Hospital, their families got a place to stay. So Sister Geraldine Atkins and Claudia.
Yes.
And the sisters.
That's
and,
here in Richmond.
We fixed pots of chili along with Nick and Sonny and Everett, and giving them sandwiches, feeding them. We go to the Hope Center. We try to do that on a quarterly basis where that's a food pantry as well, feeding as many as 80 to 100 families on a Tuesday or a Thursday. We have the Adopt the Street cleanup program down in Petersburg where we have our signs from South Street, the bottom of the hill, out to Lee Street. We have a mile-long stretch that we are responsible for cleaning up. So, and we do have our names on the signs going both ways. Group 5, Group Social Fellowship Incorporated. We just came from a community service event, myself and Craig, where we were at, is it First Union Baptist?
No, it was Great Hope.
Okay, we're going to many churches, so I can't get the names right. We just coming from one of those distributing food. So I like the direction that our brothers and sisters are going because we're helping our community. Those are our obligations. So keep up the good work from the top to the bottom. God bless y'all.
Wow, wow, wow. And now, without further ado, we're going to talk about our sister of the hour, our featured guest on here. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Jessica, you know this gentleman on my right, don't you?
Did you? Yes, I believe
Boy. Hey, speak again.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Sister Jessica Jean Burton. She's in Jersey. And we've getting some terrible feedback. Okay, Sister Jessica, what I'm going to ask you to do, we're getting some terrible feedback there. We didn't get that this afternoon. Turn off your speaker. Keep your microphone on. Turn off your speaker on your computer. Let's see if that works. Okay?
Whoa, that's strong.
Okay. No, that's not working. So I tell you what, let's do this. Log out and please, please, please come back in as soon as possible. Okay? All right. Okay. Yeah, she was getting some, I don't know what that calls. We did a test earlier today and it was absolutely perfect. And you know, hey, Gayus, this is live radio and things happen. So it doesn't matter. So we're going to talk about the cause and effect of mental health. What are some of the causes? And I'm going to go around the panel and I don't know how many of you guys, There she is. Let's see.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Absolutely. Right. Yes. Sister Jessica.
Yes.
The topic, and I have to give Brother Robert the credit for this, because Robert sent me a list of topics that we could cover. As a matter of fact, he gave me enough that we could cover probably for, until the end of the year. That's how detailed he is. And we welcome any idea that any of our panelists have as far as what subjects we should cover next, and even our audience out there. What would you like to hear? What is something that is really motivating you, something that's troubling you, something that you're having a problem with, or whatever it is? Let us know what it is. Let's talk about it, because there are resources out here, just like Brother Mark was talking about, just like Brother Robert was talking about, and so forth and so on. So let's talk about the causes and effects of mental health. Sister Jessica, okay, I want you to talk to us a little bit, because you and I talked about this off air. We talked about this a little bit off air, and your field that you're in a complicated way is related to your mental health. Okay. And I want to talk about the causes and effects of mental illness rather. So, introduce yourself to the panel, and then we would like to know, and you can take it anywhere you want. I don't have a resume in front of you, but I do know that you have a whole bunch of titles there. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about those various titles that you have. What do they mean? And then let's get into this whole thing about how your field is connected to the situation, I mean, to related to mental illness and mental health.
All right. Well, hola, sisters. Hello, brothers. Again, my name is Jessica Jean Burton. RDH stands for Registered Dental Hygienist. PhDHP stands for Public Health Dental Hygiene Practitioner. And MPA is I have my Master's in Public Administration. I am swing known as CEO, which stands for Continuously Evolving Over Time. I entered into swing land on March 19th, Spring 11. So today is my swingversary. Crossover at Lincoln University.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. And I came into swingland at Lincoln University to get out of the Bisha Taboo chapter. And I currently serve as the parliamentarian of that Arafiki Tri-County graduate chapter. And like Wim spoke before, I am the founder of Nurturing Smiles. We are a nonprofit organization based out in Pennsylvania. And we focus on women and children. The main focus is pregnant women in childbearing ages, and we focus on educating them about the importance of oral health during pregnancy, how it affects themselves, how it affects their fetus and the baby to come. And we really focus on educating women in underserved areas. Offline, as we spoke before, how it deals with mental illness and mental health. A lot of the things that happen, especially during postpartum and pregnancy, as mothers, as women, we tend to take care of our family first before we take care of ourselves. And so during those times, we're not really taking care of our oral health, and oral health is hugely affected because it correlates with our overall health. So with my organization, we go into residential shelters, and we educate those women, pregnant women who are there, and we provide them with free oral cancer screenings. We also provide them with home cooked meals. We educate them, and we try to direct them as much as possible with as much preventative care that we can give. We have many initiatives that we do in the city as well. So we have book bag drives throughout the year. We also have a dental plate initiative that focuses on nutrition with children. And then we have our clinic that is based out in South Philly on Tasker Street. We partner with Merriam Medical Clinic, and said they also focus on the overall health. So with them, we focus on dental, medical, and mental health there as well.
Oh, wow. Great. So would you say then, post-COVID, it seems that mental health has been in the forefront a lot more than it was pre-COVID. So yes, you'd like to speak a bit about that? I mean, has the being in the house and dealing with the COVID epidemic, has that put a more of an emphasis on mental health, in your opinion?
Definitely. COVID really opened up that door for it to be spoken on. Especially as a hygienist, my chair technically becomes a therapist. I become a therapist. People come and sit in the chair, they get comfortable, and then they kind of start talking about what's going on. And now that we are post-COVID a few years, so many patients haven't been to a dental office since before COVID. So when they come in, they're speaking on everything that they have gone through these past few years that caused them to put their dental health at, you know, last. Dealing with loss of jobs, dealing with family and finances, and just trying to keep food on the table during COVID, and then just dealing with their mental health of the big old changes that happened, being home, not losing family, the depression that happened during that time. And they take their dental health and it was last on the list. And now they're like, we're just trying to get back, you know, and get everything together. A lot of patients are now just coming in because they have pain. So it wasn't for the pain, they wouldn't be coming in to see us at all. So definitely COVID opened up that door for it to be spoken on, for it to be relatable. And COVID also opened the door for us as professionals to talk about mental health, how it affects us, not just our patients, but taking on that challenge as a dental hygienist, we were first on the list of being, first on the list of actually being the highest to contract the virus. So the offices were closed for a really long time. And it's because of the airborne bacteria. We are in people's mouths. As soon as we use our instruments or any kind of airborne activity, it's in the air for a certain amount of time, and we're in that room with that patient. So we were at high risk of not just, you know, people didn't think about that, but, you know, everybody was thinking about what's happening in the hospitals and the nurses and doctors. But for us, we couldn't open up because we were at risk. So the mental health on just us as professionals, knowing that our job is important, knowing that we need to be there. But it was a lot of the dental field right now, we are lacking a lot of dental hygienists due to the fact that so many people didn't come back to the field. A lot of people retired early, schools didn't graduate, a lot of students, a lot of people are changing their mind about the career. And it's saddened because especially the work that we do with my team, the most important part is we want children to see people who look like them out here and working hard and providing them different opportunities. And the hardest part is there are not a lot of African-American people, even women, in the dental field. So that was also a lack. So it's like the pressure is on us. The pressure is on us a lot to make sure that we're out here providing the care that's needed.
Great. Mm-hmm. So in the dental hygienist field, can you kind of like give it that pathway as far as the education and the training, any certifications that one would need to become mm-hmm. a dental hygienist?
So for a dental hygienist, it's an associate degree. So you just can do your prerequisite courses and go to any school for 2 years to get that license. And then afterwards you take a test, and every state has different regulations. Or you can be also an overachiever like me and also have your bachelor's degree. And so that bachelor's degree allows you to be able to teach. With my license, in different states is different, but in Pennsylvania, I am a public health practitioner. And so with that license, I can practice without a doctor present, and that is how I'm able to operate a mobile dental clinic.
Great, great. And you've been doing it for how long now?
I've been practicing for 8 years now, and I have had my own organization now for the past 2 years.
That is excellent. That is excellent.
That's awesome.
Yes.
How did you fall in love with the field? Like, what encouraged you to go that direction? Like,
well, my first introduction to dentistry, I was 12. So my parents are immigrants from Haiti. So when they came from Haiti, they didn't have a full-time job, so they didn't have benefits. So until they actually had a full-time job with benefits, to actually go see a dentist was my first appointment. So we went there, and I'm thinking I have amazing teeth. I brush every day. And so at my first appointment, I found out I had 12 cavities. And that was a shocker to me, but my provider was amazing. My doctor was African-American. She owned her practice. She did everything. She didn't have anyone working for her. She was a recent graduate. And she took her time to not just educate me, but also educate my parents. And she educated me on oral health in a way that just, it blew my mind. And in my, I'm just like, I'm going to be just like her when I grow up. I had two, three appointments following to get my cavities filled. But she made us feel like family. She didn't make me feel judged. I didn't feel insecure about my health. It was just about educating me and getting me back on the right path. And so that kind of just geared me to like, okay, I'm going into the dental field. And so went to Lincoln University, studied biology, graduated, and then, you know, went to Harkin College for dental hygiene. My experience there was different. I was the only Black student in my program. So the pressure was definitely there on having to be the top of the class, needed to be the best. But through my education there, we did a lot of community service. I'm going into the field and just working with the communities and seeing a lot of patients who look like me who are scared of the dentist because they don't really see people that they trust. And that opened doors even more to be like, this is definitely where God has a plan for me. And that's when God planted that seed of wanting to have my own nonprofit to be able to work in these communities and bring our people into the dental field and have them understand the importance of it, but also seek out that education as well for themselves.
Wow, that's a lot to unravel there. Any other, from, let's go around the panel. LaToya, Robert, Tiffany, Mark, Clayton, Craig, we'll come back to you in a second. Okay, all right. We'll get to you, Game Changer, okay? But LaToya, what questions do you have for Jessica?
Well, I just asked mine. I just love to know what was the driving force behind the love, you know, for dentistry. You know, I happen to love the medical field. I have not experienced anything in dentistry, but I've done eyes, I've done home health, I've done all of that, but it's just, I just wanted to know that, and that's beautiful. I love the story.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you're, you know, that you saw that in a woman, and then you say, you know, I'm going to do that for someone else, and now that's what you concentrate on. I love it, sis. That's wonderful.
Thank you. It's an amazing story.
So I asked my question.
Fascinating story.
If I think
story.
Of another one, I'll jump in.
that's okay. We're going to go to Tiffany, and then Robert and Mark next, and then Clayton, and then Craig.
Well, I got to be last.
Because you've been trying to hog the entire broadcast. That's why. Don't make me cut your mic, Craig. Okay. All right. Tiffany, what questions do you have for Jessica?
The one question comes to mind is, do you see yourself or other Black petitioners having or starting a program to draw in younger Black interests, you know, so into the dental hygiene practice?
Yes, one of our initiatives that hasn't launched yet, but we have been keeping it in prayer and we're hoping everything works, is our Smile Scholars Initiative. That initiative is to be able to go to HBCUs and provide dental care to the students there. So our first stomping grounds is Lincoln University, which is my home. And the goal is to be able to partner with them, bring the cleanings to the campus, because a lot of these students, they're going to HBCUs in their first generations, or they're coming from underserved areas as well, and they haven't received dental treatment. A lot of students also at Lincoln, they offer insurances, and they opt out of dental insurance at the school because of the extra cost. So we want to be able to go in and provide services to those students. So that way it's a segue of introducing dentistry to them and giving them that option of, hey, you know, you can also do this as well, especially with them seeing that we are alumni of Lincoln, and that we're coming back and giving back to our community. so that way we can open up those doors and be able to make this a national thing. So it's in process. This takes a lot, but it is definitely one of my dreams, one of my goals and initiatives that we want to be able to launch and be able to move on into not even just HBCUs, but other schools. We just recently had a March Be For King event in Philly, and we had a lot of Drexel students who came. And these students, you know, are letting us know that they don't have dental insurance, they haven't had dental appointments. And we were able to treat these students. And it, you know, it opened up my eyes even more to the other schools that we can be able to segue into and provide services to, but also introduce dentistry to the minority students there, because we saw a lot of minority students that day.
Excellent. Hey, Robert, you know, I had a the opportunity to speak to Jessica off air for a few minutes. And I told her about the topic that we were going to pick for this week. And I told her the topic was mental health. And that was a topic that you sent me a list of. Let's talk about mental health. Let's talk about this, okay? And so I asked her also, how does what she does tie into mental illness? So, Robert, I want her to answer that. But before she answers that, I want you to ask the question that's on your mind.
Yes, thank you. I would like to ask, how long was the education for dentistry? And is there, is it continuing education as well?
Yes. Yeah, so for dental hygiene, it is 2 years for you to get your degree and license. And then we also have to take for a public health license, I have to take an extra 25 continuing education course hours within every 2 years to renew my license.
Mm. Interesting. You know, Jessica, like we talked about this last week, Latoya came with the topic and we talked about domestic violence. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to find out if there's a link there somewhere where I don't know where there are any statistics or anything like that, but is there a link somewhere that with poor dental health and dental hygiene, is there a link between that and domestic violence? Is there a link on mental illness there, which you already answered before with me off the air? But I want you to go a little bit deeper here and tell us, and then we're going to go to Mark and see what question Mark has.
And so when it comes to poor oral health and when it comes to, you know, mental health, like I stated before, a lot of it is your smile is everything. People want to smile. Mm. People, that's what shows joy. That's what shows that connection and that communication. And when at that time when you, if your smile isn't up to par, isn't where you want it to be, it can cause a strain on yourself. It takes away from your beauty, your mindset, that you have for yourself. Especially when a lot of people are going through things, the number one thing they think of is today I'm going to put on a nice outfit. I'm going to feel good. But if you feel good about your outfit, but you don't feel good about your smile, that also can take a toll on your mental health, and cause that depression. So a lot of women that I do see in the office, a lot of times they come in and they talk about how they haven't been taking care of themselves for so long. And they were a part of domestic violence relationships. And they were just taking care of their children themselves and the husband, but not taking care of themselves. And they come in and they don't even want to show me their teeth, even though I have to get in and take x-rays and help them. They don't even want to show me their teeth because of the insecurities around it. And so usually, and with those patients, you know, you take your time with them, you talk to them, and then you make them feel like, you know, them coming in that day was that best step for themselves. And we help them through that journey and we let them know, like, whatever, how long it takes, we're here to help you through it. And that helps them, you know, mentally to get through the process, because dentistry is a painful process. Not that many people love to see us. But what keeps us moving is that end result, being able to see the smiles at the end, the woman's stories. We get, you know, we become friends with them because we see them for so many appointments. So the end all is really what's so gratifying, is that we help someone gain their smile, which helps them.